Samuel chapter 15. I'm just going to read one verse, but that's just purely for the sake of time. We could read the whole chapter, but do keep your Bibles open. Follow along if you can. This is a well-known verse of Scripture, a classic verse of Scripture, some people call it, and it contains one of the great statements in the Word of God. First Samuel chapter 15, and reading from verse number 22. Thank you for your prayers when we were in Chile. Thank you for the welcome back. It's been encouraging, and it's good to be back. It's always good to come home, and we trust the Lord will continue to bless. 1 Samuel 15, and just one verse, verse number 22, please. 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 22. And Samuel said, and now he's speaking to Saul, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And just catch that little bit in the middle. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And we do trust the Lord to bless the public reading of His own word to our hearts again this morning. I want to look at that great text. To obey is better than sacrifice. Does that mean that sacrifice is not important? Does that contradict what Peter tells us in the New Testament? 1 Peter 2 verse 5, "Ye also, speaking to believers as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus." And of course, Scripture doesn't contradict Scripture. It's good for us to sacrifice. John MacArthur, speaking on that verse in 1 Peter, he lists seven sacrifices that Christians should make. He talks about our bodies. We would know that from Romans 12, verse 1. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Talks about our praise. Hebrews 13, verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God." You don't really think of praise being a sacrifice, but we're taking time just to praise his wonderful name. That's why it's so important what we sing, because it's a sacrifice. It's something we're doing for the Lord. Our good works are a sacrifice, but to do good, the Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 13, verse 16, our giving is a sacrifice. He goes on to say in Hebrews 13, verse 16, "But to do good and communicate the idea is our giving. Forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Those we lead to Christ are sacrifices. Romans 15, verse 16, "That I should be minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering to the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." When we seek to lead someone to Christ, we're doing it because we want to glorify the Lord. It's all about the Lord. Our love is a sacrifice. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Revelation 8, verse 3 to 4, talk about our prayers being a sacrifice. We talk about prayers being on the golden altar. And you know, when you discover how difficult it is to pray, it's the most difficult spiritual exercise. It's easy to preach. It's easy to sing. But it's so hard to pray. Try and get down just to pray. It's a sacrifice. And these are sacrifices that God's people are supposed to offer. But then we're told by Samuel to obey is better than sacrifice. There's something that's more important than sacrifice. Let's break this chapter down just so we get the context this morning. I want you to see a clear command in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 15. God doesn't leave any grey areas here. There's no room for our own ideas. Look at verse 1. "Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people." What a privilege. What a privilege for this man to be the king of Israel. It was a God appointment. You know, we are a privileged people. So privileged to be in a land where the gospel is preached. So privileged, those of us who are saved this morning, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. But that privilege also brings responsibility. Look at verse 1 again. "Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken unto the words of the Lord. This privilege brought great responsibility. Hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. We are so blessed this morning to be saved by the grace of God. But with that comes this responsibility to obey the word of the Lord. You see the privilege, responsibility. Let me talk secondly about the pest removed. We're thinking of the clear command here this morning. Look at what the Lord recalls in verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Here are the children of Israel. They're heading out of Egypt. They're going into the wilderness. They're heading for the promised land. And on their way, here comes Amalek. You can read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 to 18. You can read about it in Exodus 17, verse 8. You'll discover that they attacked the hindermost of the people. See those who were lagging behind. See those who were walking afar off. Those who weren't keeping up. And we looked at Reuben on Wednesday night. You remember Reuben settled on the wrong side of the Jordan. He settled on the wilderness side of the Jordan. These are Christians who are not close to the Lord. Those who are not keeping up with the Lord. Those who have let something become between them and the Lord. And Amalek just comes in and takes them up. Amalek is a picture of the flesh. You see, we're open to all of these things if we don't keep close to the Lord. But here, the Lord's recalling what Amalek did to Israel. I wonder, did they think they got away with it? I wonder, did they think that God would forget all about it and somehow not hold them to account? But God's now holding them to account. You see the pest removed. You see what's recalled. Then you see the revelation in verse 3. And here's God's clear instruction. Now go and smite Amalek. Utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel and ass. They were to take everything out. These were a wicked people, a terrible people. Some of their practices were so vile that I wouldn't utter them from a public platform. God says they have to be removed. It's a little bit like sin. There's no point confessing part of the sin. There's no point holding on to some pet sin. The Lord wants us to confess our sins, for He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't leave a trace. Don't leave it easy for the enemy to come in again and take hold of something in your life and to build upon it. Don't give the devil a foothold, or else it will become a stronghold. You see the revelation here. It's quite simple. He is to wipe them out and destroy all the animal. See the rallying in verse number 4. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. What a mighty army. So far, so good for Saul. Then you see the reward, verses 5 to 6. I just mentioned this in passing. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, you get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. You see, they showed kindness to the children of Israel, and God remembered their kindness. God remembered their goodness to Israel. And so they were to be taken out, they were to be spared. We read in Hebrews 6, verse 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Maybe someone hasn't said thank you to you. Maybe someone has taken the goodness that you have shown to them and somehow thrown it back in your face. Maybe they acted as if it was something they deserved and they took you for granted. And they forgot all about your goodness and your kindness. Well, God doesn't forget about it. God remembers it. God remembers those deeds and God won't forget what you have done. You see the reward here. You see the clear command here. It's quite simple, isn't it? Saul is told to rid the country of the Amalekites. He gathers the army and he's ready to go. And the Kenites, they're spared. Then you see the compromising culprit here. Look at the battle in verse number 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. He's on the march and victory is assured. Look at what they did, and I've just called this the best, verses 8 and 9. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Remember, he wasn't to be spared. Utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, that they utterly destroyed. You see, Saul spared the king, and he kept everything that was of any use. You see the basis here as well. Everything that was vile and refuge, that they utterly destroyed. You see, the idea behind the word of utterly destroying was the idea of an offering. And it was an offering to God. And what Saul was happy to offer to God was something that was worthless. Something that was of no value. Something that was no good to him. Do you remember when we studied the book of Malachi? God says, behold, what a weariness it is. Malachi 1:13. And ye have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts. Ye brought that which was torn. He's talking about their sacrifices, and they were bringing the animals. That which was torn and lame and sick. Thus he brought as an offering. And God asked this question. Should I accept this of your hand? And I remember when I preached in Malachi, I just took that question. Do we sometimes say to the Lord, that'll do rightly? When it comes to our giving, when it comes to our service, when it comes to our lives, have we got to a point where we say, Lord, that'll have to do you, that'll do you rightly? And maybe God's saying to you this morning, should I accept this at your hand? Consider your worship of him. Consider our giving this morning. Consider our reading, our studying, our meditating of the word of God. Consider our thinking this morning. Think about our doing, our testimony this morning. Are we saying to the Lord, that'll do rightly? And the Lord's looking at your life and my life, and he says, should I accept this of your hand? You know, the Lord didn't give us second best. The Lord didn't give us the leftovers. He sent the darling of his bosom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. And he says, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He held nothing back. None of us will ever accuse the Lord of being a miser, being stingy, or holding back on us. And he's asking the question to you, and really this is the question to Saul. Should I accept this of your hand? You see the clear command here, it was simple. You see the compromising culprit, he didn't do what God asked him to do. You see the critical communication here, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. God knew what was happening. It repented me that I have set Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. You see his guilt here. Look what it says of Samuel. It grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. Do you remember that Samuel was the prophet and the judge? And the people came and they said, we want a king. Samuel, you're old. You're done. You're finished. Your sons are useless. And I'm sure Samuel, and we know that Samuel was hurt. And you would think that Samuel would gloat now, wouldn't you? Saul has been a disaster. Saul has been a failure. You would think that Samuel would be sort of walking with his chest out, thinking, I told you so. But Samuel was a better man than that. And it says he cried unto the Lord all night. Have you someone backslidden in the family? Do you know a backslider this morning? Did you ever cry unto the Lord all night for them? As far as Samuel was concerned, Saul deserved nothing. But still Samuel cried unto the Lord all night for him. You see the grief? You see the greatness of Saul in his own mind? Look at verse 12. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place. This is like a memorial. This is Saul setting up something to say, I'm a great fella. I have defeated the Amalekites. He's basically saying, I've done everything that God has asked me to do. You see the clear command. You see the compromising culprit. You see the critical communication. God comes and speaks to Samuel. And then you see the conniving character here. Look at verse 13, the proclamation. I want to set the scene here before we get to our text. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. That's a lie. Maybe Saul had fooled himself. Sometimes we convince ourselves so much that we actually believe our own lie. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But what's the problem? Look at verse 14. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? There was words coming out of Saul's mouth that were saying one thing. But Samuel was hearing something different. Samuel could hear the sheep that should have been slaughtered. Is what comes out of her mouth in keeping with what people hear? Saul's testimony and what he thought he was rubbish. You see what Samuel heard. You see what Samuel observed in verse 19. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil. The word fly there, they were passionate about it. Samuel could see they were passionate about taking things for themselves. Look what Samuel said, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Witchcraft is passing God to discover something. And we'll find in a Sunday to come that Saul will actually go to a witch. And he's bypassing God to get something. That's what witchcraft is setting God to the one side and trying to get something that only God would know. Idolatry is putting something in the place of God. And they had put materialism into the place of God. They bypassed the word of God and they had put things in the place of God. Now look what Samuel does. He's pointing in verse 15. Samuel said, they. You see, it was somebody else's fault. Verse 21. But the people took of the spoil. You see, in verse 25 to 31, I'm not going to read it, but basically what he was saying was that they took the animals to sacrifice, and this was a pathetic excuse. There was no repenting of his sin. All he was concerned about was himself. You see the clear command. You see the compromising culprit. You see the critical communication. The conniving character. And then the catastrophic consequences. Look at verse 34 to 35. And Samuel went to Ramah. And Saul went up to the house of Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul lost the throne. He lost the fellowship of Samuel. Never again would Samuel be there to help him. But notice Samuel mourned for Saul. Sin in any believer's life should never give any believer any pleasure. Sometimes we might rejoice in the gossip. Sometimes you might rejoice in the downfall of a believer. May God have mercy on us. Samuel was a better man than that. Samuel cried all night unto the Lord for him. And Samuel mourned for Saul. It was like a death as far as Samuel was concerned. See the catastrophic consequences. Now we come to what I've called the classical comment. Don't worry, I'll do this quickly. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul was out with an army. No doubt he was taking great risk in his life. He was going to war. He was partially obeying the word of God. And God comes to Saul and said, see all that you're doing. See the fact you're out there fighting and see what you've accomplished. It's nothing. All that sacrifice is nothing. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. There are a number of things in Scripture we're told are better than sacrifice. Mark 12, verse 33. To love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love him as neighbor as thyself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Do you love the Lord this morning? You see, the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2, they were busy. They were doing outreach. They were doing everything. They had meeting after meeting. They thought they were doing everything well. And the Lord comes and says, you've left your first love. See if your heart's grown cold. And your heart's not in it. And you don't love the Lord. The Lord says, loving me is more important than all you do. Do you remember Mary and Martha? Martha was so busy doing something for Christ, she hadn't time to be with Christ. And the Lord says about Mary, who sat at the feet, his feet, Mary has chosen the good part. See, if you love the Lord this morning, more important than all you do. Love is more important. Your concern for the lost is more important. Matthew 9, verse 13. But go ye and learn what meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Have you a love for the Lord? Have you a love for the lost? Do you desire to live righteously? Proverbs 21, verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. See, living righteously. You can do whatever you want for the Lord. And you can be busy for the Lord. And thank God for people committed to the work of the Lord. But living righteously must come first. And the Lord says that's more important. More important. Why is it better to obey? Look at verse 24, 1 Samuel 15. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Those who obey the Lord do so because they fear the Lord and they seek to please him and not to please people. Look at verse 19. We mentioned this already. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? You see the passion they put into getting things for themselves. Those who obey the Lord put that passion into the Lord. You see the praise in verse 12, we mentioned it already. Do you remember Saul wanted to set up a place? See, those who obey the Lord, they seek not for self-exaltation. They seek for Christ-exaltation. Let me mention some practicalities. There's the passion, there's the praise, there's the pleasure. These are just scenarios. You know, I can earn more money, but I'm not going to get it the right way. But I promise I'm going to give more to the Lord. For it says to obey is better than sacrifice. I attend a dead church, but I do something there. The Lord says to obey is better than sacrifice. I have some bad habits in my life. Some things I'd be ashamed of. But I never miss a prayer meeting. To obey is better than sacrifice. I have sin in my life, but there's nobody gives more to missions than me. The Lord says to obey is better than sacrifice. See some practicalities this morning. We could talk about the perishing this morning. You see, for those who are not saved in the meeting this morning, the gospel is a matter of obedience. Remember what Peter said, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? To obey the gospel is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. But I attend church, I do good works, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I have engaged in the sacraments. I do all the church things, I'm a fairly good living person. You haven't obeyed the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To obey is better than sacrifice. All the good works are just filthy rags. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's how we please God. We should put our passion into the work of the Lord. We want to praise the Lord. We talked about the practicalities and the perishing. And then I want to talk about pressing on. What are the benefits of obedience? you have a sure foundation for the winds of adversity. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Sometimes we preach the gospel on the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And I would do that too. But think about it in its context. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, what's the sayings? That's the word of God. And doeth them, that's obedience. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. When the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Obedience to the word of God is a rock. See, when adversity comes, obedience will stand you in good stead. See, when the winds of adversity are blowing against the home, because it's the home he's talking about here. I remember preaching a message on how to storm-proof your home. Back to the Word of God. Building on the Word of God. Obedience is a sure foundation for the winds of adversity. It ensures victory in life's battles. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. But thou mayest observe to do. There's the doing again. The obedience according to all that is written therein. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Spiritual victory. Back to the word of God. Back to obedience. A sure foundation in the winds of adversity. Are you shaken? Do you need to get back to the foundation? Victory in life's battles. Is there disobedience? Joy. His commandments are not grievous. Psalm 19 verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Obedience brings real joy. Obedience makes us conscious of his love. John 15 verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. I can't really explain that this morning. But those who obey are very conscious they have a Saviour who loves them. You know, when a child disobeys in the home, we will discipline them, we'll rebuke them. But of course, we love them. But you see, during that discipline, they just don't have that same awareness of how much we love them. You see, in a disobedient child of God, God has to deal with us. And sometimes in dealing with us, we're not conscious of his love, even though whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You see, a life of obedience with a deep, deep sense of his love. You know, our knowledge will grow. John 7, verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. How can I know more about the Bible? I want to get deeper into the Bible. I want to know more. How can I do it? Obey it. Obey it and see how you get on. Obedience helps the knowledge of Scripture to grow. It gives us a deepening communion with the Lord. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. There's the obedience again. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now I know the Spirit of God indwells every child of God, but in a special sense, a life of obedience not only makes you aware of how much God loves you, but you have a real sense that the Lord is with you. What a blessing to obey. I think it leads to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I know it's talking here about every believer, but I think we can apply it to being filled with the Spirit of God. Acts 5 verse 32. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. See, if you want that infilling power of the Spirit of God, well, you'll not have it if there's disobedience in your life. The blessings of obedience. Blessing on our homes. Deuteronomy 5, 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Fruitfulness in our lives. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware to thy fathers. He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. fruitfulness, a sure foundation for the winds of adversity, victory in life's battle, heartfelt joy, conscious of His love. Our knowledge will grow, a deepening communion with the Lord, the infilling of the Spirit of God, blessing on our homes, fruitfulness in our lives, blessing on our deeds. James 1 verse 29, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer but a doer." This man shall be blessed in his deed. This man will be blessed in what they do. Do you want the blessing of God on your work? Obedience. The Lord will honor us. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Answers to prayer. 1 John 3 verse 22. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight." Are your prayers not being answered? Is there disobedience? This is ABC stuff, isn't it? This is simple this morning. Assurance of salvation. Do you doubt your salvation sometimes? I have a couple of weeks to do in 1 Samuel and I don't know where to go. I may go to 1 John. And 1 John is written to believers who seemed not to know they were believers. They lacked assurance. And this is one of the verses, 1 John 2 verse 3. "Hereby we do know that we know Him." Isn't that what you want? You want only, not only to know Him, you want to know that you know Him. And this is what John said. If we keep His commandments. Have you been keeping count of the blessings that comes from obedience? A foundation for the winds of adversity, victory in life's battle, heartfelt joy, consciousness of His love, increased knowledge, deepening communion with the Lord, infilling of the Spirit of God, blessing on our homes, blessing on our lives, blessing on our deeds, honored by the Lord, prayers answered, assurance of salvation is to obey. Better than sacrifice this morning. Anyone in Scripture who amounted to anything was a man or woman who obeyed God. Paul says, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." If He hasn't great delight in all of these offerings, it tells me He has great delight in a life of obedience. Of course, Jesus Christ was the perfect, obedient servant. And God the Father looked upon Him and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Isaiah said, "Behold My servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom My soul delighted." A Christ-like life is a life of obedience. And a life that delights the Lord. I'm finished. But let me say this, and God really spoke to my heart. When someone in Old Testament times would have brought a sacrifice, yes, they would have picked out a good lamb, and they would have brought the lamb along to the priest, and they were giving something to the Lord. But you see, when you're obeying the Lord, you're not giving something to the Lord. It's part of you that you're giving to the Lord. You're obeying from the heart. Easy to pick up a lamb and carry it and give it to the priest. But to obey God, this is me. And what the Lord is saying this morning, I don't want everything that you can give and everything that you can do. First of all, I want you. I want you. Give Him yourself. And one of the indications of giving yourself to Him is to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful text of Scripture. Lord, sometime we could be sacrificing. Lord, doing so much, running here, running there, sweating and working our fingers to the bone. And yet, Lord, something's missing. Perhaps, Lord, you have a word for someone this morning. To obey is better than sacrifice. But maybe some here not see it. And Lord, they can point to their good works, they can point to their church activity. But they've never obeyed the gospel. The Lord says to obey is better than sacrifice. There's nothing you can do to earn God's favor, because Christ already has done it. Speak to hearts this morning. May the Spirit of God make the application. And may within this church be a band of men and women and young people that the Lord might be able to say of us, "My soul delights in them." Amen.